I love you, Paula, but don't ask me if that dress makes you look bigger. I love you, Paula, but don't ask me if I eat spinach, your spinach. I love you, Paula Lab, but don't ask me about eating carrot casserole, because I don't like that carrot casserole. I love you, Paula Lab, but don't ask me if I like this hairstyle or that hairstyle. And the reason I say it just like I'm saying it is because those are open-end questions that will get you trout no matter how you respond. So now I have learned that if Paula asks me, does this dress make me look bigger? I say, Paula, you look fantastic no matter what you wear. That's the right answer, amen? And then when she says, do you like this spinach casserole? I can't stand spinach. I don't like casserole, but you know what? If it makes Paula smile, then you know, I'll choke it down and pretend like it was delicious. Whatever I have to do. Many, many times we ask people if they would do something, and many, many, many different times we'll ask folks if they'll help in a certain way, and maybe they don't want to, but because they love you, they'll go ahead and go through with whatever the situation. I'm convinced today that each and every person assembled right here in this building certainly does love the Lord, or we probably wouldn't be here today. Does that make any sense at all? Does that make sense? If we didn't love the Lord, we probably wouldn't be here. If I didn't love God, I absolutely guarantee you I wouldn't have gotten out of bed this morning. It was nice and warm. It was kind of toasty. There's a television from here to the end of that table away. There's a remote control that sits over there. I would have hit the remote and been right there, Jerry happy. But the reality is I love God more than I do myself. I love God more than I do my family. I love God first and foremost, so I want to. It is a privilege. It is a blessing to be able to get up because God's given me the physical agility to be able to do just that, to be able to get up and to go and to be able to come to the worship service of the Lord. I love you, God, so I am going to do what you're asking me to do. Does that make any sense? I'm convinced that we love the Lord, and that is made known by the fact that we are all together, and just a few moments ago, we partook the Lord's Supper, just like he commands us to over in the book of Acts, chapter 20, down around verse 7. He says to do this in remembrance of him, and I believe today that's what we've done. We took the Lord's Supper, remembering the great sacrifice that he made upon that cruel cross at Calvary so that he can save sinners like me, sinners like you, worms like us. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life upon that cruel cross at Calvary. Amen? In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 1 through 12, the whole chapter, we can see where Isaiah, that great prophet, is talking about Jesus Christ going to be that great sacrifice. And he is talking about this some 700 years, even before Jesus was crucified. So in this passage of Scripture, let's look at it together. The Bible says, who has believed our report, and to whom of the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he, talking about Jesus, is what he's talking about, friends. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised and we did not what? Are y'all in chapter 53, verse 3? There we go. I'm going to wait till everybody's together. We're not doing this by myself. When you're found, just say amen. All right. So he, watch this. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as if it were our faces from him. We're going to do it again until we get it. Isaiah chapter 53. That's going to be in the Old Testament. Has anybody found Isaiah 53? Are you ready for verse 3? Are we ready for verse 3? All right. He is despised and rejected by who? There you go. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we had as if it were our what? Faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Good. Just want to make sure we're together. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for whose transgressions? Our transgressions. He was bruised for whose iniquities? Our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by whose stripes? His stripes. Who's healed? We are healed, the Bible says. And we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid up on him, talking about Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken away from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, the Bible says he was stricken. Watch number 9. And they made his grave with who? The wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Is that correct? Number 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11. And he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Verse 12. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul even unto what, brothers and sisters? To death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and watch this, and made intercession for, the Bible says, who? And who's the transgressors? That be us, isn't it? Proper grammar. So thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, coming and dying upon that cruel cross at Calvary, giving us a great opportunity to come to him with a repentant heart. Does that sound about right? Now, I feel very certain today that all of us, or most of us, love the Lord, because it was, again, just a few moments ago that we were singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. We partook of the Lord's Supper. We was led in prayer. We did all that because we love our Heavenly Father. Isn't that about right? Have you ever found yourself thinking, though, in our journey with Jesus Christ, have you ever found yourself thinking, I love you, Jesus, but don't ask me to do this or do that? You ever found that? Just like a while ago, I said, Paula, please don't ask me if this dress makes you look bigger. Don't ask me if it makes you look older, etc., etc. Please don't ask. But when we talk about the Lord, many times the Lord asks us to do things and we try to ignore it. We try to put it away. And that goes totally against what the Scriptures is going to tell us, and I'm going to show you that. Perhaps many times the Lord has asked us to do something and we see it through His Word. Perhaps you serve God, but maybe we serve God even with the wrong attitude. Maybe we say things like, well, I don't know, I guess I'll go ahead and do it, because if I don't do it, nobody else will. That's a wrong attitude to have, isn't it? We should be doing what we're doing for the cause of Christ because we get to. We should be doing what we're doing for the cause of Christ because God has given us everything He can give. Jesus gave us everything that He can give. So it is a privilege to serve Almighty God. Do you agree with that? It is a privilege to be able to be called upon through His Word to do what Jesus and do what God is calling us to do. Listen, God requires His servants to put Him first and foremost in our lives. We've seen it in almost every lesson. Matthew chapter 6, down in verse 33, where the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these things, finish it up. Thank you, Lily. Shall be added unto you. I have to think about what the Bible says over in the book of Luke, chapter 14. If you look around verse 26, the Scripture says, if anyone, now this is what I love, my God doesn't discriminate. Do y'all get that? He says, if anyone, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how wealthy or unwealthy, doesn't matter how popular or unpopular, doesn't matter how big or how small, it doesn't matter your level of education. The Bible says, if anyone comes to me, watch this, isn't that awesome? If anyone comes to me, but watch this, but does not hate his father, does not hate his mother, wife and children, brothers, sisters, yes, even his own life also, he's saying, I don't care who you are, you cannot be my disciple. So what is Jesus saying here? I don't want you to be confused. He's not saying that I have to hate my sister. He's not saying that I have to hate my child and grandchildren and wife, etc. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying you better hate them in comparison to the love we have for him. Amen? So he's got to be first, Amy, and foremost, bar none. Do we agree with that? There is no way around that. Jesus has got to be first, and the Bible says so. If you'll look at what he told his disciples over in Luke chapter 9, around verse 23, and he said to these disciples, he's talking to him, those people that's been following him. He said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and do what? And how often does he have to do that? Daily. Thank you, Teresa. So take up his cross daily and follow me. Well, what does that mean, follow me? That means doing what I, God, am calling you to do. Does that make sense? Not what you want to do, but what God is requiring us to do. I know many times in our lives we're faced with difficult decisions and some very tough choices. I know that sometimes the world and its attractions can become very alluring, can it? Sometimes the world can be very, very strong, and sometimes the world can have a pull on us. I hope we understand that Satan is alive and he's well. Satan is not dead. That's why we're warned in the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he's walking about like a roaring lion. You know what he's doing? Seeking those he may, what, Bobby? Devour. What does the word devour mean? Eat up, gobble up, consume is a better word for that. I don't want to be consumed by the devil, amen? I want to be absorbed by the righteousness of God. So we need to be aware of that. Jesus tells us over in the book of Matthew chapter 6 that we do not have it within us to serve two masters. We choose what we're going to do. Matthew chapter 6, down in verse 24, the Bible says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and what? Love the other. Watch this, you're going to like this. Or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. The Bible says, you cannot serve both God and mammon. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that we've got a choice to make, doesn't it? That means that we have to choose today, what am I going to do? Am I going to serve after the righteousness of God? Or am I going to serve after the, am I going to serve the world and the allurement of the world and its attractions? Brothers and sisters, I'll stand before you today telling you I choose God. Who do you choose? Man, only four people said God. Who do you choose? God. I'm hoping that you choose after the righteousness of God. I just wonder again, how many folks in the kingdom of God today are allowing the world and its attractions to lure them back into Satan's snares? I wonder how many folks today that profess their religion, that profess their Christianity, if I may, professing their love for God, are truly willing and ready to do what God is calling us to do. Some of you today have the ability to teach a class. And you might say, I love you, God, but don't ask me to teach a class. I love you, but don't you dare ask me to teach a class. Others have the ability to lead our singing and would do an absolute fantastic job. I love you, Father in heaven, but don't you dare ask me to lead singing. Get somebody else to do it. Are y'all getting this? Some of you have the ability to pray in public. I love you, Lord, but please don't ask me to lead a congregation in prayer. Some have an open schedule, and some of us don't. Some folks could be here in the assembly a lot more often. I love you, Lord, but don't ask me to be here as much as you want me to be here. Some state that they truly love the Lord, but don't ask me to abstain from every appearance of evil, because that's just way too difficult. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. I got places to go and people to see. I love you, Lord, but don't ask me to visit and encourage each other before and after the services of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as is a manner of some. Here's the next part. But exhorting one another, encouraging each other, lifting each other up. Please, in the congregation of the Lord, don't be the last one in and the first one out. Amen. Two people said amen. Do we agree with that? Now, that doesn't mean we've got to stay till the sun settles, but say hello to some people. Let people know that you actually care. If you don't like them, tell them you do anyway. It's not going to hurt you too much to lie just a little. There's a lot of people I don't like, but I'll fake it. That didn't sound right, did it? All right, well, okay. I love a lot and like some others. Is that okay? I love you, Lord, but don't ask me to do this or that. God, you know that I love you, Lord, and I know that your Bible is the true inspired word of God. I know that it is God breathed. Father, I love you, but don't ask me to study your Bible every single day. Oh, really? 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed. Rightly what? Dividing the word of God. I love you, Lord, but don't ask me to study your word every day. I've got way too much to do. Lord, I love you, but please don't ask me to love my enemies as well as my friends. According to Matthew chapter 5, 43 and 44. It is so easy, brothers and sisters, to love those that love me. Is that pretty cool? But God's not asking us just to love those that love us. He's asking us to love our enemies too. How difficult is that? It is very hard. So I'm about to think, y'all, you can leave your preacher out there like that, with a hand up for a high five and you walk off. No, it is difficult. And it's not just difficult for you, it's difficult for everyone. And you know what? God says that it can be done, though, right? But we want to say, Lord, I love you. Ask me to do anything but that. I don't want to be friends with man. I got a little pride issue. I'm not interested in that. I don't care if they like me or not. So? Well, we can't be like that, can we? Not as children of God. We are to set a Christ-like example. Brother Rob said it a while ago. Christ wants us to imitate him, doesn't he? And what did Christ do about his enemies? You remember, he zapped them. He took out a .38 and he popped them. That's not true. It was a 357, wasn't it? No, that's not true either. What did he do, my little sister? He opened up his arms and he said, Father, what? Forgive them for their knuckleheads. They don't even know. That's right. They don't even know what they're doing. What else did he do? To show us just exactly what put us in our place, he took our place on that cross, didn't he? He became, as the Bible says, the propitiation, the substitute for you and for me. He took our place upon that cross at Calvary. What an awesome God we have. Amen. Lord, I love you, but don't ask me to lead singing. I love you, but don't ask me to do a prayer. Lord, I love you, but don't ask me to visit. Lord, I love you, but don't ask me to do this. Lord, I love you, but don't ask me to do that. Because all you did was give your life up on the cross after you was beaten 40-1. After you was rejected. After you was scourged. After you was mocked. But whatever you do, don't ask me to teach a class. Are y'all getting this? Okay. Let's go back to the book of Luke again. Luke chapter 14. We're going to hit verse 23. Lord, I love you, but don't expect me to go invite others to church. Don't you ask me, Lord, to go invite people to Bible classes. I'm not good at talking to folks about this religious stuff. Well, the reason that you would say religious stuff is because there's not a whole lot of love back for God. If we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, if we love people in the world, we're going to invite them to the services, aren't we? If we love God, we're going to do what he tells us to do in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Also Mark 16, verse 15, when he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Do you remember that? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Who believes not shall be condemned. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, he says, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is that what he said? He sure did. And what else did he say? He says, teaching them to observe all the things I, the Lord, have commanded you. And he says, I'll be with you always, even to the very end of what? To the end of time. So are we being called upon to invite people to church? Yes. Luke 14, 23, the Bible says, then the master said to the servant, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be what? That my house may be filled. Today, brothers and sisters, the Lord's house, this meeting place for the Lord's people, it should be full. The list is endless. There are many things that the Lord expects of his people. But Jesus says it all when he says this in John 14, 15. If you love me, thank you. If you love me, keep my commandments. We will sit and utter all day, oh, I love you, Lord. Then we add that word, but, don't we? I love you, but. I love you, but. I would do this, but. I would do that, but. Some people want to kind of narrow it down and put a facade around it. They use the word however. I would do this, however. I would do this, but I can't. Yes, we can. Can't, never can. But through God, we can do all things. Amen? All right. So, folks, if the truth be known, I don't know of anyone that is a member of the James Avenue Church of Christ that would intentionally, hopefully not intentionally, go against the will of God. However, when we fail to do what God is calling us to do, brothers and sisters, that is called sin. Do y'all agree with that? If we fail to do what he's calling us to do, it's called sin. We know that there are two types of sin. Esther and I was talking about this the other day. It's the sin of omission and the sin of commission. That means it's not what we did necessarily, it's what we didn't do. James chapter 4, verse 17 sheds a little light on that. The Bible says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, guess what it's called? The Bible says to him it is sin. So that would be a sin of omission. You knew to do good and you didn't. Well, what about the sin of commission? I have to think about 2 Samuel, the whole chapter 11. We're not going to read today. You can when you get home. You can see where King David committed adultery. Not only did he commit adultery, he also committed and conspired to murder. So that is where he committed sin. But you know what? The penalty for both is the same, isn't it? The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, then wait a minute. Who's guilty of that sin? Thank God preachers aren't. I'm just glad I graduated. Whoo, finally, 4 years on a 2-year course. Preachers don't sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all and fall of the glory of. Very good, very good. All right, Lord, I love you, but folks, what do you think it is? What do you think it is that keeps us from doing what we can do in our service for the Lord? What do you think causes us to sometimes or somewhat to become reluctant servants? That's the way I'll word that. Sometimes I'm afraid that we can become a little bit reluctant. Let's take a quick look at just a couple of points that we can consider as we talk about the title of our lesson today, Lord, I love you, but here we go. The first point I want us to examine today that I believe contributes to the fact that some people can be reluctant to be a reluctant servant of God is this. I believe that busyness, is that a word? Busyness? Thank you. Busyness can cause us to be reluctant servants of God. Man, oh man, do we have busy schedules, don't we? I mean, we are, seriously speaking. I'm not condemning that. I don't think God is condemning that. But I think He's telling us, you know, we all have the same amount of time. There's 25 hours in a day. 24. Man, y'all are asleep. So somebody's not using their schedule right. All right, 24 hours in a day is up to us on how we use that. Is that about right? Is that about right? All right, just want to make sure. Have you ever noticed just how busy of a nation of people we've become? Man, we are busier than bees. Just look at the interstate system. I was thinking about this Friday when I was on the way to the funeral home. I get on the interstate at Nolensville Road in 440, and I shoot out and work, get off at West End. And as I was doing that, I'm doing about 65, so I am actually violating the laws of the land because the speed limit is 55, but you'll get killed out there if you do the speed limit. So you have to do at least 65, or you're going to get run over. But at 65 miles per hour, seriously speaking, I wasn't any more than that. I was doing 65, and I was just going right on down. And, I mean, people were blowing by me on both sides. And, you know, I drive that little 4Runner, and it just kind of bounces back and forth when you go. And I'm like, what in the heavens? People can't be this busy. They can't be this far behind. And I'm thinking in my mind some things that I shouldn't be thinking. And I had to pray when I get to the exit ramp. And I'm thinking, wouldn't it be hilarious? And then I thought, and I'm not going to tell you what I thought. And anyway, then I had to get to the exit ramp. And I thought to myself, you know, that was pretty bad. What if that was Jerry Jr. driving like he normally drives? I wouldn't want somebody to think, well, I wish he would have wrecked out, spin out or whatever. So, oh, sorry, Jerry. But anyway, let me tell you what was the truth about it. So these cars are like, seriously, it was a white Altima and another big white SUV. Well, they pull up at the 440 to turn right on West End. And guess who pulls in right behind them? Yours truly. And so do you think, in your opinion of me, knowing me that long, do you think I continue to look straight ahead or do you think I went? I promise you, with my hand to the Lord, I went. And this lady was just like, kind of, she looked over at me once, and I thought, mm-hmm. So I just kind of leaned and just kept staring and looked back. And, of course, he got his cell phone, and I went, ding, ding. And he shook and just shook my head that that's a no-no. Then I thought, I'm going to get killed. So, I left it alone. The reality is people are so busy, they fly, they overlook safety, they overlook other people. The point I'm trying to get at, when they blew by me on the interstate, they wasn't concerned about my safety, were they? When people are so busy in their schedules of life, we're blowing by people and we're leaving people that are hurting spiritually. We're not even concerned about their spiritual being. We better slow down a little bit, brothers and sisters, and remember that we have a responsibility to those that are hurting spiritually. Amen? We've got a responsibility to those that may not even know the same Jesus that we know. We're assuming today that people know the God that we know, the God of creation, but they don't. Some people don't because they haven't been taught. They haven't been reared in a home. I was very blessed. Mom and Dad had totally two different views about Christianity growing up for a long time. Dana, that was very difficult, wasn't it? Dad says, you know, you belong to the denominational church. And Mom says, no, we belong to the church. It was established on the day of Pentecost. And Dad goes, I don't believe in all that. I think, you know, you're straight. You're a Baptist. You're a Baptist, boy. You're born a Baptist. You'll die a Baptist. I said, no, I'm not. I'm not going to church anywhere. So I quit. I didn't go anywhere for a long time. Dana didn't either there for a while. How do we know what to do? Mama said that. Daddy said that. I didn't like either one of them at that time because I was a teenager. And so then I just thought, you know, after I got married and settled down a little bit, I started wanting to study the Bible myself and see what it do. And I found out, let's just do what God says. You don't have to worry about it. Is that about right? So I say all that to say this. We've got to slow down. Isn't that right? Take a breath. Breathe in the righteousness of God. It is not too busy that we can't remember our own families, brothers and sisters. And the people that are about us. But you know what? There's ball practice to get to. There's karate lessons we got to get to. We got to get to our second job. I've got to get home and I've got to paint on the house. I've got to clean the garage out. I got to get the car washed. I got to get the grass cut. I got all these things to do. Lord, you can't expect me. I love you, Lord. But don't ask me to do this or that. I believe we need to be reminded that this life that we have been blessed with should live. We should live it to the glory of God. Does that make any sense? If you don't believe it, look what the Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, the Bible says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Listen, for the busy bees that are out there today, let's be sure that we reorganize. Let's be sure that we prioritize our schedules. Let's be sure that we show God that we love Him and that He is first and foremost in our life. Is that all right? Reorganize and prioritize Jesus in our lives. Lord, I love You, but I'm just too busy. This next point that I want to consider is this. I believe a sense of inadequacy. I believe sometimes we can feel inadequate. Have you ever felt that way in something? Besides a preacher, I have in many instances. But we'll keep going because I'm just that stubborn. But I believe a sense of inadequacy can cause us to be reluctant servants of God. I'm convinced that there's a lot of people today in our world, and some in the Lord's church, that are reluctant to do what they can do because perhaps they feel a little bit reluctant. They maybe just don't feel like they can really do the job that needs to be done. Maybe you feel that way because something that had happened a long time ago. Maybe someone said something to you that really quenched your spirit. Maybe somebody said something to you that really hurt your feelings. And maybe within yourself you're saying, well, I'll never do this again. I'll never do that again. I'll never get up and try to help publicly. I'll never do this or I'll never do that after what he said or what she said. Please don't feel inadequate. We are never inadequate with God. Amen? So we are need to do what God is calling us to do. We all mess up. We all misquote Scripture. We all, when I lead singing, it is a disaster. I know that, but you know what? I don't care what you think about my singing because I'm singing, I'm making melody in my heart, and I'm singing to God. Amen? And I know that the other day I was talking about Noah's Ark, and I was wound up, Darlene. I was ready. I was delivering that lesson. I said, and God told Noah to put a window here, 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 and here, and Amy, he only told him to put one window in. But I went and added about four more windows. And did I mess that up? Yes. I didn't mean to. But what if I just cashed out at that point? What if at that very moment I thought, you know what, as a minister, I've done advocated six windows and there wasn't but one. But I'm not going to let that get to me. You know, I'm just going to say, well, you know what, I didn't even mean to say that, and I'm going to move on to the next thing. Does that make any sense? I'm not going to feel inadequate. Again, seriously, the worst song leader you'll ever hear standing right in front of you. And I know that, but I promise you, I don't mind leading singing any time that you want me to do it. If you can stand it, I can stand it. But the reality is, don't give up on God. Is that right? I've heard people in the church say things such as, I believe there are others that are more qualified. I heard that here not too long ago, and I didn't say much. I just kind of stood there leaning against a pew back there. And that's what the brother told me. I know that there are others more qualified. That's pretty bad. I heard this before too. There are others that are more gifted at that than I am. I believe you and I need to remember that God equips us with what we need to do His job. Does that make sense? God equips us. When He calls us to do something, He's not just taking us and throwing us out. He's equipping us, Bobby, for what we need to be able to do His job. Do y'all agree with that? We need to glorify God in all that we say and do. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Do y'all want to look at that one? It'd be pretty cool. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's see what this is about. 2 Corinthians 3, look at verses 4 through 6. I want us to see what Paul told the church at Corinth about glorifying God and working for God, and that He Himself will sufficiently supply all that we need to do His work. So 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6. The Bible says, and we have such trust through Christ toward who? Watch this. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency, it is not from us, it is from God. Very good. Go to 6. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, talking about the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit, what does it give us? Thank you, Teresa. It gives us life. Let us also remember what the Bible says over in Hebrews 13, the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, 20 and 21 again. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now watch this. Make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And the last word says, Amen. So listen, God has a job for each and every one of us. Do you agree with that? Please don't discount yourself down. Don't allow others to put you down. Don't allow anyone to derail you or to discourage you. God has got this. Do you agree with that? Listen very clearly. You are not inadequate. You are a powerful tool that the Lord can use in His vineyard. It's just a matter of you submitting yourself to His call. Are we all in agreement? Third and final point, this lesson will go home with you. Selfishness. Selfishness and a lack of love can cause us to be reluctant servants of God. Folks, listen. Sacrificial service means that it's a sacrifice. That means it's not convenient. Serving our Heavenly Father may require some changes in our lives that we may not be in agreement with. It may not make us too comfortable. In our service to the Lord, it could warrant a change of plans, couldn't it? When we fall in love with Jesus Christ, it may cause some plans to change in our lives. We may have to give up certain comforts. We may have to make some financial sacrifices. When we are truly dedicated, committed servants of Almighty God, we are to give up everything and put God first and foremost. Lord, use us. Lord, use our talents. That's what we should be thinking, isn't it? That's what we should be saying. That's what we should be praying. Use our talents. Use me for your service. That should be the desire of every child of God. I appreciate what we see back in the book of Genesis. If you'll go there with me, then we're going to close after that. Well, maybe. Genesis chapter 12. Let me show you something. Verses 1 through 4. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, I said to you a moment ago, when Jesus calls us and God calls us to His service, sometimes it can be a little uncomfortable. Sometimes we've got to be willing to walk out with nothing in our hand but our faith. Does that make sense? Here, I'm going to give you an example of this. Watch what Abram did in this situation. Genesis 12, 1 through 4. The Bible says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your what?" First of all, that would be extremely uncomfortable to me. I was born on Hewlett Drive. I was 3 months old when Dad and Mom bought that house. I was raised on Hewlett, bought a house on Hewlett, raised my child on Hewlett. He lives on Hewlett. Daniel lives on the corner of Hewlett and Woodson. Jeff Ladd and him live 3 doors up on Hewlett. We had lads everywhere on Hewlett. I wasn't moving then, and I'm not moving now till the Lord says, come on home, and then I'll move. My address will be heaven. No zip code. And so the reality of this is I would not want to move right now until I took a notion. But God says, get out of your what? Now, not only did He tell him that you're going to have a different address, watch what else He said, Esther. He said, from your family. Now, wait a minute, God. You're asking me to move, and now you're asking me to leave my family and from your father's house to a land of which I'll show you. He don't even know where he's going. So God's called upon Abram and said, here's what you got to do. Get out of the country you're in. Leave your father's house. Well, where am I going, Lord? Where are you sending me? Well, I'll tell you later. Are y'all starting to pick up the faith that Abram had? And yet we complain. Verse 2. I will make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families upon the earth are going to be what? The Bible says blessed. So watch what happened. So Abram decided that he wasn't going to do it, and Abram said, Lord, I love you, but... Now, I'm asking y'all to look at verse 4. The Bible says, Abraham said, I love you, Lord, but... The Bible says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So you think about it, 75 years old, and now he's being told to get up, to leave his country, to leave his father's house, to leave everybody behind, see you later. That's a pretty big move, isn't it? But was he willing to do it? Did he do it? Are we willing to answer the call of Jesus Christ today? Are we willing to put Jesus first and foremost like we should? Listen, it's pretty obvious that Abram was a true servant of God. Abram was willing to give up everything. He was willing to give up everyone in his household for the Lord. And Abram went with his faith, as I said a few moments ago, to a land that he didn't even know until the Lord showed him. No selfishness there. Would you agree with that? I believe our people of today could learn a lot. I believe we could all learn a lot from Abram. We have people today that won't even come to the church services or the meeting place of the Lord that He commands us to come to and meet as often as we can. Some are selfish in their service to the Lord and some are not. Which one are you? Also, I mentioned that a lack of love could cause us not to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ. A lack of love and concern can cripple us in our service unto Him. I think about what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 19. What the Scripture says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all." Watch this, "that I might win the more." If we love Jesus, friends, and we love Him with all of our heart, we will joyfully serve Him. Does that make sense? Not grudgingly, but joyfully serving Almighty God. Why? Because I love the Lord. Friends, there is nothing that I wouldn't do for my family. If they said, the doctor said, "Jerry, we've got to take your heart out of your body and give it to Paula or she's going to die," I'd say, "Take my heart." For my child, my grandkids, my family, that's what I would do. And I believe anybody in here would do that for their family, wouldn't you? Some of them went, "Huh, you crazy?" But we would do that. That's what Jesus did. That's what God did. He sent Jesus for you and for me and gave the life of His own Son for sinners like us. When we love the Lord, and I mean truly love the Lord, it becomes a pleasure and a privilege to serve Him, not a burden. Are we okay with that? So as we close the lesson today, Lord, I love You, but don't ask me to do this. Don't ask me to do that. Don't ask me to do this. Don't ask me to do that. Let's not put contingencies on Jesus Christ. Let's not put conditions on God. God has given us everything that He could when He gave His Son for us. Jesus gave us everything that He can give when He gave His life completely for you and me. Today, are you willing to give your life to Him? I love You, Lord, but will you decide today that Jesus is going to be your Savior? Come to know Him by hearing His Word, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Be faithful unto death, and always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Also today, maybe there's a need in your life. Maybe you're already a Christian, but you know what? I've kind of wandered from the fold of safety. I want to get back and do what I know God wants me to do. I want to serve God with a cheerful heart, not grudgingly, but in a blessing way. If you have a need, you need it all, we ask you to come right now.